Hello, I'm RJ City, and you are listening to the Monster Cast. You're going to talk about Bela Lugosi. They're going to talk about Lon Chaney Jr. He'd be so sad, holding his hat, saying, "Please put me in this room and don't unlock the door." And you can't do any better than the Dahl brothers, Jack and Ryan. They're brothers, but they're also bros. What? Pardon? Wrestling. Well, who the hell wants to talk about wrestling? These are horror movies. It's a deep genre. It's a smart genre. Fantastic actors. Fantastic cinematography. Wrestling is just sweating and fireworks and bouncy ropes. There's nothing inside. How do you talk about that every week? All right. Let's see them try. Take it away, you crazy dolls.
You.
Jesus, fuck. Fuck my fucking ass. What the fuck? Please shut up.
No. Like Master Watto,
please shut up.
You're gonna put some respect
on
his name now.
Stop fucking saying Master Watto on this fucking show.
IWGP Junior Heavyweight Co-Champion.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful here. You're watching the Monster Cast with Jack and Ryan. A big shout out to those fellas. Good people. Check them out.
Oh my god, what is this? It looks like a TV. The New Japan titles, they need to stop making titles.
It's like a TV, bro. They took it too literally. That's the problem.
They should have just turned it into a TV. I would have been more impressed.
That would have been cooler.
Put some antennas on the top.
No, just make it like a digital title. Like, it, you could display whatever you want on the digital.
Oh, like
title.
An LCD screen?
Yeah.
And then have the picture of the person that's the champ. That'd be so good.
Fuck.
That'd be worth it.
Wrestling podcast. How fucking original.
Jake and Brian. Brandon Cutler here from AEW, and I hope you guys have an awesome podcast with the Monster Cast. What was that? Your name is Jack and Ryan? Shut up, Jack and Ryan.
Tell me who you would sign first.
Hiroshi Tanahashi.
No, not overall, genius. Between the two goddamn examples I'm about to give you.
Master Wada.
Killer Cross or Dominik Dijakovic, who are you signing first?
Killer Cross,
100%. What the fuck?
Absolutely.
Wrong! That answer is wrong!
I would.
Oh my god.
You don't know shit! Your opinions suck!
I guess I should, you're welcome.
I don't think I've ever said boo.
I will.
That's so stupid.
I'll do it.
Boo.
Boo. You can't. Don't actually say the word because that's why it sounds weird. You got it. It's like more like a note. Boo. You don't fucking actually say boo.
No.
Boo. 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 You don't turn it into a fucking chant. You actually have to.
I will. I'm gonna do that at Forbidden Door.
You too. Start a boo chant. Boo.
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 Boo. Boo. Boo. Boo. Boo.
Here's your hosts of the Monster Cast, the Straight Edge Monster Jack and Ryan.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Monster Cast. I'm your host, the Straight Edge Monster Jack. That is Ryan over there. I almost didn't even say that correctly. I almost didn't even say that. Did it sound right?
It sounded fine.
I'm the Straight Edge. My teeth got in the way.
Yeah.
I'm the Straight Edge Monster Jack. That's Ryan. There we go. Welcome to the show today. We got a short show for you compared to usual. Not a lot of stuff going on after a PLE night. So before we get started, obviously, we got to show off the shoes today. Today, I'm rocking the KDs. Don't show off your stupid fucking anglerfish.
I think they're on the other side of the room.
Good. Good.
Damn.
Do not show off your anglerfish fucking things. We're rocking the KD Tray 5s today. These are very comfortable shoes. I've had them for a long time. I've worn them a few times. You can kind of tell right there. But they're still pretty nice, pretty clean. I do have a scuff on the left one because Christina likes to step in on my fucking shoes all the time when we're out places. Fucking annoying. She doesn't know how to fucking move. Walk, people, walk. Or let me get in front, one or the other. Anyway, they're pretty sweet. I like them. I'm also rocking my dogs today. This is on purpose, obviously, because of the Humane Society stuff that we're going to talk about in a minute. But Yeah, how you been, bro? Been, we didn't do it last week because of some internet issues. I had a huge storm here. Huge storm. Fucking insane.
Been good. Took a few days off the week that you didn't do the show. Or was that this week? I don't remember. The week that you didn't do the show that we were going to do it, I took days off that week. And then this
week. Your camera's a lot clearer than mine today, and I don't like that. My camera's usually really good looking. Today is all grainy. Could be because I got a lot of wind and shit going on. It is super windy and gray outside today still.
Mine seems real bright for some reason, but it's all right. It makes me look paler than I am in real life. Not that I'm not pale, but...
I mean, I got two lights shining on me this way, and it's still... I cannot believe we're as white as we are either, by the way.
You would think, right? But I think it's because you work night shifts, so you're pretty much sleeping during the day. And then I work
from home.
That is true,
and I don't like sun anyway, so I try not to say it. But I'm just talking about because, you know, dad's side.
That's what, yeah, but you still, like, we still would have to go outside. Because when I do go outside a little bit, I get pretty fucking tan. But, like, yeah.
Just, I don't get tan. I just go right to red.
You do that once and you're good. They didn't call our father's people the red men for nothing.
Dude, I got sunburned in February one time, like, no joke.
I'm not even kidding. I did too, but it's because I went to fucking...
February sunburn. That's insane.
I tan pretty good when I bother. The trick is just inject melanotan too. There you go. And then just don't worry about ever going outside. I've been chilling. Ain't nothing much going on. I'm up for another project soon at work, so... That's exciting. Other than that, not much else.
Update on the Humane Society stuff. Let's go ahead and throw the picture up there. I took a picture a couple days ago so I could let everybody know on all our social media places. Obviously, you can follow us on Twitter, X, at Real Monster Cast. You can also catch our show if you can't watch the full version here. You can catch it on Spotify as well. You just type in Monster Cast. You'll see it, I promise. Anyway, there's the picture of a lot of the stuff. Some of the stuff is obviously... Okay, so what we had was a month-long thing to the time we got a new subscriber, which I think we're up to like 180-something now.
87.
Every subscriber we had for the month of October and some of November, we shook the 8-ball as like so. You can see that right there. As an example. So we shook that 8-ball, then something would pop up in the middle, like right there, cat treats. And we will donate that item to the local Humane Society. I have all the stuff together finally. In this picture alone, I've got the Frisbees, I've got the Cheerios, I've got the cat treats, I've got the dog treats, I've got the tennis balls, I've got the blankets. And I added in some extra stuff. We had a lot of extra toys that we've been getting on clearance for Christmas and Halloween. So we threw those in there, even though that wasn't part of the thing. Also have the bleach, the boxes, and the jugs off to the side, too. I just didn't want the picture to look all junky like we're giving a bunch of trash away. What they asked for, though, I promise you. It is what they asked for. So we'll be donating that all relatively soon, definitely this month. So that's the update on that. I will take some more pictures when we actually go deliver it all. I think I have like 25, 30 boxes, and then they're all broken down, obviously. And then I have... there's also two things of bleach that we're donating that I didn't put on the table till later. And paper towels. And then what was the other thing? The jugs. 8 jugs that we're donating as well. Like milk jugs or something.
With all the scandals with charities allegedly not paying to their things, we got to have some transparency and accountability for our voluntary subscriber charity thing.
I mean, I'm just letting everybody know that we're doing it.
No, I know. It's funny though.
That's not bullshit.
Also, right. That guy didn't actually do any of that, so that's another fucked up part of that. I don't know if you know that story, but
what?
Oh, the completionist guy? Some guy that he has a YouTube channel and got called out by some other fucking YouTuber for the guy was basically saying that he had looked up a bunch of shit about the charity thing that he had run as part of one of his like organizational events or whatever, and accused the dude of not paying out the charity or whatever. But then it was like a real long video, like basically just tear the fucking dude apart, talking about all this legal shit, whatever. And then the guy comes out and releases like a 20-minute video on Twitter. Like, nah, here's all the fucking paperwork. Here's why it's legit. Here's the fucking accounting. Here's like every part of it. And just like made the first video look so goddamn stupid. But
the guy got what he wanted, probably, right? He got the views. He got what he wanted. All what it's about. That's all what it's about. Speaking of views, we viewed NXT Deadline. I don't even know if that's my first thing, actually. Hold on, let me see what the first thing is. Hot Tag Topics. It is, okay. Deadline review. I forgot to plug it into the stream deck, so I don't know what the hell's going up first. All right, so Deadline review. Let's talk about it. First of all, let's get, and then we'll give our grades. Okay, so our boy Lexus King had his debut PLE match against Carmelo Hayes. And that hairstyle was a choice.
What is the promo at the end where he's like, yeah, you beat my ass, I guess, but I wasn't the one who was even involved in the trick thing. And then also, you put me on a PLE, so I really win in the end.
Yeah, it's kind of like what the guy we were just talking about with the YouTube thing. He got the views he wanted. He wanted to be viewed. He knew he was wrong. Or he knew he didn't have anything to do with it, but he got the views. That's just like the guys that you were talking about on YouTube. Oh, shit.
It's different when you're a wrestler.
That man said, thanks for the loss.
That man lost
and was happy about it because it was on a PLE. Yeah, it's weird.
It's the first time I've been on a pay-per-view in my wrestling career, baby.
Dude, it's kind of like a fake, or like, well, they're all fake, I guess, technically, but it's like a story in a video game. Like, it's like a video game storyline. It's like, yeah, it didn't make any sense.
Well, they got to give your character a reason.
What made more sense, the post promo or the hair?
Still the hair. I mean, the hair wasn't good, but like, it still made more sense than that fucking promo.
The hair did not go with the shape of his head. I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah.
It looked like it just went flat. Like his top of his head is flat, not rounded.
It's flat.
He's a flat header.
Had a hard, troubled childhood. Okay,
it's crazy, dude.
Crazy. I have no idea what's going on there. But friend of the show,
Friend of the show, like legit somehow. Like he's,
we did interview.
He's easily the highest profiled person that we've interviewed. Now that he's been in AEW and WWE, so we can't say that he's not. So like, we have interviewed Brian Pillman Jr., Lexus King, on the show before. Now, the question, however...
Future PLE wrestler.
The match... By the way, the match wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't. That's the crazy thing. I thought it was a little short. Did it feel short to you?
Well, you had the two 25 guaranteed minute matches, so I assume that would have to cut into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was okay.
It wasn't bad.
Okay, so I don't know what else you can really do with Carmelo in NXT besides the Trick Daddy or Trick Williams. Trick Daddy. Trick Williams. That's a rapper, right?
Yes. Brian Pillman Jr.'s favorite
besides,
rapper.
Besides, holy shit, we're 13 minutes in. I've already completely lost track. All right, so.
You're good. That fucking bandana's Trick all Williams. Today.
Trick Williams. Feud or whatever. That's like the only thing they got left that they can do with Carmelo. Now my question is that really worth going ahead and burying, well not burying, but having Lexus King lose his first PLE match too? Couldn't you have done something where like Trick came out and caused Carmelo to lose if you wanted to protect Carmelo for the Trick thing? And not on purpose, no. Obviously, but just
the way like, you do that happen. is you have Trick come, if you want to have Trick involved at all. Because Trick also thinks that Lexus King is the one who was involved. You have Trick come out and calls Hayes to lose by DQ, attacking Lexus King.
And then Carmelo can be like, hey, man, what the hell?
Yeah, so you set up more conflict between them. It doesn't bury Lexus, and then you can go from there. Like, obviously, you know, DQ spots on a PLE are not ideal, but if you're trying to push that story... And you don't want to bury King, and you don't want to have Hayes take a real loss. I feel like that would have made more
sense. Okay, what made less sense to you then in this aspect? Take the hair out of it.
Okay.
The post-promo, or the fact that the in-ring storyline was he was trying to get this motherfucker to shake his hand like three times throughout the match. Which made no sense with the storyline.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that was dumb. Like, why did you think he was going to shake your hand?
Well, he did eventually, right?
Yeah, and then he fucking nutshotted him with his head.
Yeah. Well, was it that, or did he...
He flipped him off and then nutshotted him with the head after he took his hand.
Okay.
When he finally went to shake his hand.
Yeah, I just... Still the promo. The promo still made sense.
The promo was bad. The promo doesn't. I mean, the promo wasn't even bad. It just didn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, he did fine delivering it. It was just storyline wise. Like...
All right. So, I guess storyline purposes is going to bring that match down. If I'm just doing the match quality of the actual match,
fine.
Like a, it'd probably be pretty high, but I think I'm just going to give that one a C plus overall. And then, because the match quality does not outweigh. The fact that it didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So what else we had? Axiom and Nathan Frazier was on the pre-show. Axiom, I think, I'm pretty sure won. Beginning of the show, you had CM Punk and HBK.
Yeah, what was that? What the fuck was that?
Just, they need to have CM Punk on the show.
But they seemed like they got lost in their own conversation.
Yeah, they did. They both said that they forgot what they were supposed to say. I don't fucking know. I didn't think Punk was supposed to be there. Didn't he say he missed his flight or some shit?
Yeah, well, who knows if that's true. But, like, nobody thinks he's going to fucking NXT. And then it just, like, it was so awkward. It felt awkward. Not even just from a Miss Lines point of view. I don't think there's anything he could have said that would have made it less weird that he was there to pretend that he's considering NXT. Like, no part of it makes any fucking sense.
Yeah, none of it made any sense. He got what he wanted, though. He got a louder reaction than he did on SmackDown. All right, so...
fucking nerds going to...
Talk about... What's the first fucking match, dude?
It was the Axiom one.
No, I mean on the main show.
Oh, Dragon Lee?
Was that the first match?
I don't remember the order.
Okay, well, let's talk about that. Really it might have been the fucking Carmelo Alexis King. I don't fucking know. I don't remember the order either, and I watched it.
So, I mean, yeah.
It was not a good show. But let's talk about that. Dragon Lee won the title. In a fairly one-sided contest.
Yes.
Yes. Like, what the hell? Like, what did we think was going to happen when none of the Judgment Day was out there with them? Didn't make any sense to me.
But it doesn't look great because you just had Dragon Lee kind of get fucking destroyed by
Santos.
So what are we doing here?
Kind of weird. Well, obviously we are viewing Santos higher on the fucking totem pole than Dominic, which we should.
I don't know.
Don't start your shit.
I don't know.
Dominic Mysterio is still not a good wrestler. I don't give a fuck what anybody says, dude.
He wasn't at a time, but he spent a lot of time in prison, and this
is not the Monster Awards, which takes place on January 7th, by the way.
It hardened him.
Could I give him Most Improved just because of how bad he was, and then he learned like two moves, and that becomes Most Improved because that's how bad he was?
He's got more than two moves. Come on.
Dude, come on, man. Two moves that are better than what they were before.
Two flexes now.
Dude, don't start your shit.
He does.
Dominic Mysterio is not a good wrestler. Don't give a fuck. Bad Bunny and Logan Paul are both better than this man.
He's not a great wrestler.
Not good either.
Whatever.
He's not good. He's not good, dude. I take Master Wado over Dominic Mysterio.
Here's what I will say about Dom. You don't actually know if he's good. Because he's still wrestling heel. He might have a better moveset as a babyface, but he's just kind of like not doing that shit because
it ain't like he's been practicing babyface moves.
You have no idea what he's been practicing.
Oh, I got it. I got an idea. Okay. I got an idea. He ain't been practicing shit.
Listen.
Except how can he annoy me with his ring attire?
Sounds like jealousy. Okay.
Like it's jealousy. So not good either. I don't know what's worse, his wrestling or his ring attire. He's not good. Dragon Lee should have won, but Dragon Lee should have probably also beat Santos if you're going to go that way, or you should have just had Carlito on the fucking pay-per-view to take the loss. Either way.
Or it just be a more competitive match, because the match wasn't even fucking close, I don't feel like.
Well, this one wasn't either. That's why it doesn't make any sense. I agree with you. It makes Dominic look worse if you're trying to use him in any kind of fucking prominent position on Raw within the Judgment Day.
Yeah.
It's whatever. I mean, Dragon Lee should have had this title a long ass time ago anyway. He should have had the title on his fucking debut.
Or there was that, yeah, that match where it was the multi-man match that he was in. I feel like he should have won that one too. It was a while ago. You remember what I'm talking about?
What else? So we had the women's Iron Survivor. Okay, let me talk about this Iron Survivor shit. Okay, so I texted about this shit or tweeted about this. All right. Iron Survivor, it seems like it would be right up my alley because there's just so much shit going on.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make any sense. And let
Is
me
it
tell
the
you.
Timeout
why.
Periods or what?
Let me tell. No, I don't mind the timeout period. I'm a huge King of the Mountain fan. Love King of the Mountain. Besides the part where you have to take it off the title and then put it back on, I think that's the King of the Mountain match. The King of the Mountain match outside of that is awesome. Good I love man. The King of the Mountain match. So the penalty box part doesn't annoy me. And they also have the graphics at the bottom and on the big screen. Love that. So even if you don't know what's going on, it shouldn't take you too long to figure it out, right? I love all that. My issue is when the first two competitors come out, okay, and it's only a 25-minute match, and the fucking, they're 5-minute intervals. So by the time the last person gets in, there's only 10 minutes left, I believe, right? So you got two people, then five is three, then five is four, then five is the last person. They're acting like you have the advantage when you come out last, but you don't because you couldn't rack up wins for 15 fucking minutes.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. So you got Booker T and what's his face on the fucking call talking about some, oh, whoever comes out last is going to be at such a good advantage. No, they're not. Not a fucking Blair Davenport or Tiffany Stratton or whoever the fuck else is in the match has fucking four falls already. And you got 10 minutes to make up that. So that part of it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't like that. But as far as the rest of the match and the way that it's presented, I don't have a problem with that at all. I actually like it. But that part annoys me. I wish they would do 2 minutes in between, and then whatever that last bit for the 25 is after the last person comes in. So it'd be 2-2-2-2-2, and then like fucking 19-20 minutes or whatever the fuck.
Do you feel like the timeout period is too long?
That too. I think it should be 30 seconds.
Yeah.
30 seconds, I think. 30 seconds, something like that. It's got to be an even type deal. I don't like the one minute and 30. So if you just did it 1 minute or you just did 30 seconds, I'm cool with that. But 1 minute and 30 or 45 seconds would be too weird to try to keep up with.
And it kind of makes sense too, because obviously if you have four people do their fucking finishers to one guy, he's going to be knocked out. So you have to have him get some time to recover, or everybody can just pin him over and over and over again. But yeah, I think it's too long. It kind of fucks with the flow of the match.
Yeah, because if somebody messes up the time or whatever, then you're really fucked because you got to wait all the extra time. Like, I'm not saying that they messed up or anything, but just imagine if Lash Legend had more than 15 seconds when she came back out for that last thing to try to get Blair Davenport so she could win or whatever,
right.
Or tie it or whatever the hell it was. So that's kind of weird. But yeah, there's little tweaks that they could do to make it even better. But yeah, just implying that the last person who hasn't been in the match for 15 fucking minutes now has 10 minutes to try to make up for whatever the hell's happened in the match so far. Is that an advantage? Doesn't make any... No, they're at a disadvantage. I'd rather come out first. One-on-one at the beginning for 5 minutes? I could literally fucking... Okay, so 5 minutes, right? I could literally hit you in the head with a chair, go to the fucking thing for a minute and a half, come back out, I'm in the advantage, I could get a couple pinfalls on you before the fucking second person even comes out. Because it's 5 minutes in between. So as soon as the fucking shit rings, boom, chair shot. In the thing for a minute and a half, come back out. They've got one, but I can get like two or three before the fucking next person comes out.
And even in a one-on-one scenario, since it does eventually become a multi-man match, do you get a DQ win for somebody hitting you with a chair?
Yeah, you can get DQs in it. They said it. You can get DQs.
Yeah, but like how the fuck would that work?
I thought the same thing. I thought DQs was a little weird too. I thought it should be no DQ, honestly. I think it should just be pins. I don't even think submissions should count. I think it should just be pinfall, honestly. Because it's just because it's so many fucking people. How the fuck you gonna have eight refs out there to try to do that? You know what I'm saying? Like if you're doing submissions too.
That plus if you get in one of those situations, obviously we've seen the spots where somebody will have a submission on somebody's legs and somebody else will have one on their upper. If they tap out, who gets a point?
Do they have Iron Survivor in the new Wrestle or in the new WWE video game?
I have no
idea. Is that a mode? Interesting. I'd be interested to like kind of play that mode, but like there's little tweaks that they could do though for sure.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's a solid concept, but there's ways to make it a really fucking good one.
Yeah, and the thing with the last
you'll know when it's really good and fixed when WWE steals it for the main roster.
When with the Last Legend thing at the end, like if that had had just a little bit more time to get Davenport in like a submission or something. Yeah,
because like the fans were just starting to boo her and stuff, and it ended like you got it like another 10 seconds even would have been enough to like be people like, man, fuck this. Or maybe somebody else trips her or something and Lash gets a false count at the end or a false finish at the end. Something to make her think you got a shot type deal, you know, something would have been.
That's what I think ending it with like if she had caught up to Blair, put Blair in a submission and then the countdown ends, Blair still wins, Lash still looks strong. And then you set up good shit for them going forward too. So
yeah. Oh, by the way, most improved female might go to Lash, honestly, or a women's wrestler might go to Lash. She's
in
consideration.
She was pretty fucking rough at first. That's
yeah,
true.
Exactly. She was like she was getting hammered on on social media, at first, and now she's much better. Or they're putting in her position to look better. Either way,
I think Sky Blue is probably going to win that. But
ooh, Sky Lash Blue, that's a good one. Abaddon.
The
problem with Abaddon is she didn't start coming on until October again. So now she's finally fucking.
Hey, she's actually got shit going on now, though. That's cool. She's actually got a story and everything.
What else we had going on? Oh, the men's Iron Survivor. Tyler Bate gets fucked over again. Because, like, what are we even doing with Tyler Bate at this point, honestly? I told you, bring his ass up to the main roster and just put him back together with Pete Dunne. I don't understand why they're not a fucking tag team on the main roster. You're clearly not going to do with anything with either of them in singles because you view them as too small. So put them as a fucking tag team. I would kill to see fucking DIY versus fucking British Strong Style.
On this match though, do you feel like the Rush ending was kind of where Trick just like immediately gets three wins? I don't know how I felt about that.
That's the issue with the Iron Survivor matches is all the endings seem like kind of flat. They're flat and rushed.
Because he got the one finisher on Braun. And like, when the fuck have we ever seen Braun go down to like one finisher when he's had time to recover, you know? Because obviously I think he got hit with the moonsault earlier in the match or whatever. But like, I don't know. It felt weird. It felt weird seeing Braun get hit with like a forearm and then take a three count.
It's also weird because it's only a 25-minute match. So was Braun not one of the first two people?
Who were the first two people? The first two people were Dijak and
Dijak was he was the very first
Briggs,
one that came out. Yes,
Briggs. So no.
Okay, so he wasn't even the first person. So it wasn't like he's been wrestling for 25 minutes and getting his ass kicked for 25 minutes either. It's the other thing that I have an issue with the Continental Classic that we'll get to in a second.
Yeah,
Braun is the fact that. In the Continental Classic type deal, you've got these top of the top guys, right? Mm-hmm. How the hell has there not been at least one draw when all their pay-per-view matches are over 15 fucking minutes? There should be so many more draws in this tournament
to
me.
The draw is 20 minutes.
It's not like, well, you're going against Jay Lethal or fucking Mark Briscoe, I understand, by the way. Totally fucking in my corner on that one because that's bullshit that they were ever in the fucking tournament to begin with. Like I fucking said when the things were announced. They weren't good enough to be in the tournament, and they both got zero fucking points and are eliminated already, like I said. They should have had somebody else in there. So those two, I understand if you beat them in 15 minutes or under. But if you got Moxley versus fucking Roosh, how does that not go 15 fucking minutes?
Hold on. That is some major fucking revisionism. Because your original argument...
Disagree. I've said that since the fucking jump.
Your original argument was that they had to have guys in it who could take a bunch of losses.
That could also get dubs. They can't get dubs.
I said from the start that it should be all fucking top guys the whole way through.
It's not revisionist history. I literally said that those two were not fucking good enough to be in the fucking tournament.
There have to be guys in there like Toru Yano who can take a bunch of fucking
losses. But they're not getting them. They're not getting the dubs, though.
They might. Tournament's not over yet.
No one's taking these two motherfuckers seriously in this fucking tournament, dude.
Well, they have to.
If Dalton Castle was in there, if Dalton Castle has fucking draws and fucking losses to these people, it makes a lot more fucking sense than these fucking two.
One of them has to get a win at some point, unless they draw each other and they both end the tournament with one point.
That'd be hilarious if they fucking both end up with 1 point. Hilarious. Yeah. It looks like they're kind of, well, I'll get to that in a minute, because it kind of looks like they're splitting off from Jay Lethal from the rest of the Jarrett shit, but not that that's going to help him.
No, he's a little.
But that's the same issue here. Is with like, you have a history of Braun being in these long ass matches on pay per view, and then he's not even in from the jump on a 25-minute match.
He comes in last.
Okay, so he comes in last, and he takes one finisher, or one of Trick's finishers, and he gets down for that long. Doesn't make any sense to me. I agree.
Yeah. Whatever.
It wasn't like he was a Spirit Squad member taking everybody's finisher at the same time. Back to back.
Well, he did take...
Or the Wheeler Yuta of the group.
Moonsault. But that was a little bit before, too, so it's still weird.
I like the women's one better than the men's one, for sure.
Yeah.
The Stratton Swanton off the penalty box was pretty cool too. I do like that the penalty box has an opening at the top too, so that in case somebody dumb like fucking Noam Dar and the rest of that group tries to seal the door by standing in front of it, they can just climb out the fucking top.
Yeah.
I do think that's a good idea because I do not want to see that shit.
What'd you think about the Corbin Dragunov match?
What did I think about it? I didn't think Corbin was going to win, so it didn't shock me, but I thought the match was okay.
Yeah.
It's another NXT where it was solid matches, and that's just not good enough for NXT, what we were used to from the Black and Gold brand from back in the day when they were taking all the indie guys and putting them in there, and they were fucking nailing it every fucking pay-per-view, and we come on here and be like, oh, the NXT takeover was better than the fucking WWE pay-per-view. That's not the case anymore.
And I remember, obviously AEW has warped our standard a little bit too.
Got a lot of those guys that they had in NXT Black and Gold.
that and when you have a television match of Danielson and Andrade go the way that that went, and then look at this, and this is their PLE or whatever, it's kind of like, fuck, like, it's just not. It's not what it used to be.
It feels more like it's an actual developmental brand again.
Yeah, because takeover,
which is why I don't come on here and bash it as much as I would if this was NXT Black and Gold days. Yeah. The 2.0 shit is basically them going back to the problem that we have is that we do that and we try to cut them some slack because we know they're developmental, but then they come out with Triple H or fucking Nick Khan and try to say, oh, we view them as a third brand, they're not developmental, and I'm just like, you got to make up your mind, bro. Is it developmental or not? Because it definitely does not look anything close to as good as quality wise as your fucking two main roster shows.
And you can't say it's not developmental when Lash Legend starts out fucking awful and is actually decent now because she's developed on your developmental brand. That doesn't, like, that's the other thing too. Like, it's clearly a developmental brand. That's clearly what it's there for. Let's not.
Yeah, and then you got NXT is your AAA, and then NXT Level Up is your AA. So you go from an NXT Level Up to fucking NXT, and then you go up to the majors, which is Raw and SmackDown. You cannot deny that that's your fucking tier system.
And, you know, AEW has it too with Ring of Honor, obviously. So,
well, they're not going to say that either, which is also a problem I have with them.
Yeah, but I get why they don't too. It's,
well, they're more integrated in the actual AEW week to week shows as well. Like, you'll see a lot more Ring of Honor guys on Collision and Dynamite than you will NXT people on SmackDown and Raw throughout the week. But I've always said from the beginning that I don't like that. But that's partly because he doesn't have a Ring of Honor fucking TV slot yet. I think that'll stop immensely once he gets that. The issue is then you'll only see the only Ring of Honor thing you'll see, I think, once that happens, if it ever happens, is the Triple Crown winner, because it has the AEW title, the Ring of Honor title, and the New Japan title. So that champion will definitely be on. I think it's weird because Joe drops the TV title. Why didn't you put the TV title into the Triple Crown instead of the Ring of Honor World title?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Because NJPW Strong title and the Continental title that you just created, which is clearly not going to be a world title, so it's a mid-card title, would fit a lot better with the Ring of Honor TV title as a Triple Crown than it would be the Ring of Honor World title, in my opinion. Yeah.
I mean, the Strong title is technically the world title of Strong. So, I feel like
are we ever going to see the Ring of Honor? I mean, are we ever going to see the New Japan Strong title in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom unless they're holding another title like the IWGP Heavyweight title? No. So,
no,
I don't view that as a world title.
Strong main event.
I don't view that as a world title. Like, if somebody if Kenta wins the Strong title, I'm not going to say, hey, Kenta was a former three-time world champion because he won the NJPW Strong Championship three times. He's not a former three-time world champion to me. Like, I'm not viewing that as a world champion.
Would you for a Ring of Honor's world championship?
Okay, so here's the thing. Yeah. Is they've been around for over 20 years, right?
Okay.
The quality of the promotion as far as in-ring work, I understand why Tony Khan views them as that. Like, when he says Chris Jericho's the Ocho, they're counting the Ring of Honor one, and they count Claudio's. I don't know if I personally would count it, though. I don't think I would, no.
Well, we can't really use the years that it's been around, because AEW's been around for 4.
Yeah, so, but AEW's actually on national TV. I'm talking about because New Japan, Impact, Ring of Honor, MLW, they're not on, like, an actual fucking channel that everybody has access to. Yeah. Mm. Like, the size of your company matters for that kind of stuff. But here's the thing. The reason it gets dicey as far as us in America is because they count, or they counted back in the day when there was regions, they counted Dusty's Florida Heavyweight Championship as a world title, mm-hmm. or the Mid-Atlantic World Heavyweight title as a world title for Ric Flair and stuff like that. Like, those count. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those count for them. So, I don't know. It gets dicey when you talk about that kind of stuff, but
complicated lineage.
Because of the length of the promotion, I remember when Meltzer and Wrestling Observer denounced the TNA title as a world title, and they didn't count that anymore when EC3 won it, and EC3 got pissed off about it, and rightfully so, because you're counting it all this time. It almost felt like it was a shot at EC3 when he was actually doing his best work in TNA at the time with Rockstar Spud and stuff like that, and I thought that was kind of fucked up because of how long it had been around, and I feel like the in-ring product was still pretty good in TNA. But
here's the real question. Do you consider Tyrus a world champion?
No, I don't. But, like, I can't say that's the NWA world title isn't. No, I don't. Like, if I look at Tyrus, I'm not thinking, oh, yeah, he's a former world champion. But technically, he is. Yes, he's a former world champion. It's fucking terrible. It's terrible, but yes, I view the NWA world title as still a world heavyweight championship. Yes.
That hurts. All right. Well, yeah, I don't know how the fuck sucks. We got this far off topic, but
it sucks. But what I'm just saying is, I just wish it was the Ring of Honor TNT or TV title, because one, Joe had dropped it, so it would have been perfectly fit in there, and two, because it's not their main title on Ring of Honor TV. So, like, what if he's defending the fucking Triple Crown somewhere else? So, because now you have no world champion in Ring of Honor, so all the PLEs that you have in Ring of Honor, you're not gonna have a fucking world title match a lot of these times now.
I feel like it also would have been a good reason for Joe to go back and try to get it back, because now it's attached to a Triple Crown as opposed to just being the single.
Yeah, I could literally be the king of television for 3 different companies at the same time. Yeah, like, I didn't know that was going to happen. Yeah, that would have been great. Or just had him in there to begin with. I don't know if that wasn't ever going to be the case, if he wasn't going to be the person to do it, because I feel like Joe wouldn't have been in this position if Cole wouldn't have hurt himself and broke his fucking ankle in 3 spots either.
Yeah. Yeah, that definitely fucked up a lot of stuff. I also hate what they're doing with the tag team titles right now because of that too. Like, I get the story and everything, but God, it feels like ROH now has no direction.
No world champion or tag team champion. And they got a pay-per-view coming up.
And
that's
no
crazy.
TV champion. So they got fucking, they got pure.
Well, they're going to crown one at the thing, yes. But yeah, I get it. Terrible. Your 3 top titles have no champion attached to them right now. Mm-hmm. It's not like Kingston can go have a world title match because his world title is being defended currently.
Right.
Like,
well, then technically it is having world title matches. So there you go.
You're fucking hilarious. Okay, so what? Eddie Kingston fights I don't even know. Name somebody that's not in the tournament. That's in Ring of Honor. That's like Bandido or something, right? Let's say Eddie Kingston has to fight Bandido at Final Battle. Bandido wins, so Bandido takes his place in the fucking Continental Classic Tournament because Eddie Kingston's no longer the Ring of Honor World Champion. Bandido is.
Yeah. Did you watch the Kingston Claudio match?
Yeah. I watched Rampage before I watched the PLE. Okay. Big mistake. But
yeah, it kind of fucks up your expectations.
No, yeah, it was not good. Yeah. No, the Eddie Kingston. Let's wrap up Deadline first, and we'll get into all that because I do have the actual updated brackets and everything, or standings rather.
Deadline.
What was the other thing? Was there? I feel like we're missing a match.
We didn't talk about
Roxanne Perez losing in the
Perez
fucking cage match. James. Why? Right. What are they doing with Roxanne, dude?
No idea.
What are they doing with Roxanne Perez right now? And then Cora Jade came back too, And the fucking hilarious tweet that somebody made, I forgot who, I quote tweeted it. They had a picture of Scott Steiner and Madeja, and they were saying this is Bron Breakker and Cora Jade. And that shit was so funny, dude. So funny. They're actually a lot closer to that than you think, too, if you look at the picture. Like, with all the work that Cora Jade just got done, and, like, the promo afterwards wasn't even good. Like, you didn't work on your promo skills at all after that, that whole time you were out. Don't tell me about Dominic Mysterio working on fucking babyface wrestling move sets when this motherfucker couldn't even do a promo classes. Like, you couldn't show up. Clearly, she's not any better on promos.
But she got to see CM Punk, so.
Yeah, her and Roxanne. Don't know what they're doing with either one. By the way, they were two of the people that were at the top of the women's division in NXT not that long ago. Yeah. And now neither one of them are sniffing the top of it. I guess that's, I could technically say that about Tiffany Stratton, too.
You could say that in AEW's women's division, too, though.
I will say that somebody had said how deep the, I think it was Cora Jade in her promo, how deep the NXT women's roster is at the moment. Mm. It's pretty deep.
It's got some people.
They're not far off from each other as far as talent goes. You're not sitting in there looking at like Charlotte, Mercedes, Bailey right at the top, and then there's a big drop off to, you know, Summer Rae and stuff like that. The problem is
you're in a,
but the overall quality of them don't touch Charlotte, Bailey, Mercedes at this stage.
They're all competitive with each other, but they're not competitive with like.
Correct. Yes. They still got a ways to go. Yeah. No, I agree with that. But they do have a lot of talent down there. If they can get like just three of them to hit and figure it out, the future of the women's division on the main roster is going to be solid for sure.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people thought that was going to be Tiffany. I didn't think she was ready yet. She might be ready in ring wise, but I don't think she's ready promo wise. Lyra Valkyria is up there in ring wise, I think, but not promo wise. Blair Davenport, I think, is probably the best all around person they have currently with promos and in ring. I'm glad she ended up winning the women's Iron Survivor match, but.
But I mean, she's also been doing it forever.
Yeah, she's been wrestling forever too.
Yeah
exactly. Yeah, she didn't just come off the volleyball team like the chick that fucking interfered in the cage match. Another reason why I hated that match, because we had more interference in a fucking cage match. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Does defeat the purpose of the cage every fucking time.
Just suspend the cage from the top of the ring. It just be like, it's a cage match, but the cage is up there. Because like anybody can come in at any time, so who gives a fuck?
Or alternatively, put them in a cage and then suspend the cage, like the Jericho put shark
cage, the shark cage type deal. Yeah, with Paul Heyman and Jim Cornette and shit back in the day. Just do the shark cage, just a giant one where you can fit two people and then have them fight in the shark cage.
So like a scaffold match, but worse.
Now they can't do that because AEW has the Shark Week thing, so they can't. They have to do that now. They're not allowed to do shark cages anymore.
I'm sure they'll come up with a cool name for it.
I don't know. Yeah, not bro. That's funny as fuck though. All right. Overall grade for NXT Deadline review. I am going to personally give it a that's a great question. I am going to give it a C, I think. And I think that's actually generous.
I feel like that's fair. There's nothing that stood out as like really good.
No, I will never go back and watch this show.
Yeah, there's nothing that stood out as like egregiously bad. But yeah, there's nothing in it where I'm like, oh shit, like I'm gonna go see that. I'm gonna go rewatch that Lexus King match or anything like that.
that Lexus King match is it's its first PLE match, and it.
I'm not
even
saying it. Listen,
let's say Lexus King becomes a huge deal on the main roster, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say he is a huge deal. They come out with a fucking a thing on Peacock, the best of Lexus King 10 years from now. This first PLE match ever won't even be fucking on the list because it wasn't anything. Yeah. And then he lost on top of it, by the way.
And then he bragged about being on the show.
Yeah.
He said,
wait a minute. So we had Rob Van Dam. Rob Van Dam got in a match with Lance Storm on the first ECW pay-per-view. That wasn't supposed to be on there, beat Lance Storm, and then cut a promo about how I wasn't even supposed to be on here, and I just fucking rubbed it in your face, and now I'm worth more money. Lexus King gets on the first PLE, he loses his match, and then he talks about, yeah, that's what I wanted. I wanted to lose on the PLE. Thanks for giving me that PLE shine, baby. Like, what the fuck are we talking about? That's completely ass backwards. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
He's just happy to be here.
Just happy to be here, baby. As long as I can get my hair done.
And it do get done.
Those free hairstylists. That's free hairstyling going on, man. Holy shit, that man is trying everything right now. He's just throwing everything at the wall and seeing what sticks. And it doesn't even have to do it either. Like, just go out there and be like, I don't give a fuck if you're Brian Pillman light, honestly. Just do that. I don't care at this point.
Yeah.
No, you don't have, you can go out there and do that without mentioning your dad in every promo too. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can just go out there and do a similar moveset. We already know you can do most of the moves because when I watch you on the indies, you were doing all those moves and you reminded everybody of your dad. The crossbody and the slingshot shoulder tackle and the drop kicks and all that stuff. Like, your dad wasn't overly athletic. That your dad defied all fucking odds. Right?
Is he a Nightmare Factory guy too?
I wanna say he was in there for a bit. I don't know who actually trained him, but I wanna say he at least stopped in there for sure. Like a Cody guy, you mean? QT Marshall guy?
Yeah, because I was gonna ask if that's why he talked about his dad.
Like, he didn't mention that training on our show when we had him. Where, yeah. Like, I don't think I asked him that. Where he
trained by Lance Storm and Rip Rogers.
Lance Storm? Come on, Lance. Two Lance Storm references in the same show.
I can be serious for a minute.
His ring name, actually, one of his ring names was Alex King. So Alexis King isn't even that far off.
Yeah.
That's weird. I don't know why I couldn't just go with Zach King since his middle name is Zachary.
Brian King. So he's the king of the Pillmans.
An idiot. Yeah, he's chained by the Lance Storm. But that doesn't mean he wasn't also in Nightmare Factory at some point.
He could go by Tiger King because that's what he fucking looks like.
I'd love to. Yeah, well, that's what everybody thought he got his shit from. I don't know. He had to go in there eventually. Maybe Griff Garrison was Nightmare Factory.
Yeah. Maybe we're just thinking that because they worked with Arn for a little bit or whatever, too, but who knows. All right, I'm done talking about NXT.
I gave it a C. Yeah, we talked about it way too long. Way too long we talked about it. I don't even know how the hell I'm going to cut that for YouTube, but I give it a C.
I would spend less time listening to us talk about that than I would spend rewatching that fucking show.
That's the one key, is that this was still shorter than the show. So yeah, we got that going for us. So C, and that's being generous. Next up. TNA making an impact. Snake Eyes pay-per-view. They've announced fucking Ospreay and, believe it or not, Okada is going to be back in TNA under the mask, I believe they said. He's going to I'm pretty sure he's going to be with Samoa Joe again. I'm pretty sure they announced that. I'm pretty sure when they threw up the graphic, he had the mask on and everything like Green Hornet.
There's no way. He's not agreeing to that shit.
I can't believe it's coming back. He was just talking so much shit about TNA, dude.
Yeah, in all the backstage interviews and shit. I know.
I believe it was still TNA when he was there. Obviously, that was really old school when Joe was there. So they're going back to the TNA name, and instead of wrestling for Impact, he just thought it was TNA this whole time, I guess. And now he's going back when they're changing their name back to TNA. I'm like, what the fuck? You had all this time to go back to Impact Wrestling, which you would have never known was TNA because you're never over here, so you're not paying attention to it. You're talking mad shit about TNA, and now when you come back over here, you're going to wait till after they go back to TNA. What the fuck? Yeah. This is crazy for TNA. Also, they signed at Final Resolution, they announced that they signed Trent Seven as well. TNA is not fucking around right now, dude. And they announced TNA Plus, the new streaming service next year.
Yeah, I saw that too. I'm probably not going to get that or anything, but it's good that
they have an option. You get the new shows on that?
Like live? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you have to, right? The thing is, it's like, I really wish Tony Khan would make a deal because he has a good working relationship with New Japan and TNA. Mm-hmm. Why don't they just fucking make their own streaming service together and have all three of them on there?
Well, and maybe start them too. AEW is on New Japan World already.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's not the same. You have to wait.
Yeah.
Watch it. Wait, so I'm talking AEW about like. Plus? Well, I'm talking about like, okay, so like if you have AEW Plus, TNA Plus, you put them all together.
You know, I have AEW Plus. I never use that shit. I don't know why.
You have AEW Plus? I have it.
Yeah.
What the hell's on there? That's so great.
AEW Plus, you can watch all the library shit, and then I don't remember if it's got the live version of it or not from the fight stream. It might. Like when I say the fight stream, I mean the one without commercials. But I never use it. It's like $7 a month or something. I remember paying it for it forever ago on a VPN,
and I just never fucking use it. So I have no idea.
Okay. So a lot of people watch it that way then, because I always see people post clips of what happened during the commercial break and shit like that.
Yeah.
But my thing is like, why, if you can't get on fucking HBO Max or Max or whatever the fuck they want to call it now, mm-hmm. if they're not giving you that fucking shit that you clearly want, unless it was in the cards and you've talked about it and they're just waiting for a contract to run up so they can fucking renew their shit, right?
Yeah.
Okay, why so isn't this fucking merged?
Weekly programming live with no commercial breaks. And then,
and so you're paying for their ad revenue thing. Anyway by not watching any ads.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But yeah.
Do they have the volume? Well, they don't have, you don't have to worry about that anymore. Cause have you seen on YouTube now? And I believe I tagged you in it because it was your idea from the start, but now they got all those different things where you can watch like the 2.5 hour, 3 hour things of the whole storylines, which is what Ryan's been talking about from the get. We started talking about streaming services for AEW and how WWE could improve theirs. Ryan has been talking about this for a long time, and now they're actually doing it in AEW on their YouTube channel. I think that's really cool.
It's because I feel like long form content has really risen a lot on YouTube in the last few years, and with wrestling being such a long term storytelling medium, it just makes sense to do it that way. You could easily put up a 2.5-3 hour.
Yes.
Yeah,
for sure. Like I the Adam Cole MJF All In story one that they did. I actually sent that to Robert before he came over to watch the show. And he watched the whole fucking like 3 hour fucking video before he came over, and he was hyped. He got hyped for the fucking match. So it works. Like if you've been out of the loop and you don't watch it weekly, you could literally go on there for their big storylines and watch that. And I think it's a great idea. I mean, it was smart on your part. I don't know if Tony Khan watches the show or not. I assume he does. But Ryan's been talking about this for a long time, so. But let's talk about TNA some more. All right, so TNA, getting these guys for the Snake Eyes thing is insane to me.
Yeah.
Like, these are two huge fucking names.
And it's not that big of a pay-per-view.
Yeah, like, it's not like it's Bound for Glory.
Right.
Or Slammiversary. This is fucking Snake Eyes, which is like some new shit that they... It's not like a 20-year fucking pay-per-view that we're talking about here.
Yeah. It'll be cool. I'll probably end up buying it just to see what Ospreay and Okada get up to, but which is obviously the point, you know, but it'll get more buys than the most recent NWA one did for sure.
Yeah, with those two names alone, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find if they actually have a card yet. I know Ospreay versus Josh Alexander 2 is set for Snake Eyes. Which is, I mean, okay, so.
I mean,
this is also, this is going to be January 14th, by the way, of next year.
Oh, I'm definitely going to the fucking.
Where is this at?
Revolution, by the way.
What the hell's the Palms?
The Palms.
Palms Resort. Yes, again, at the Snake Eyes at the Palms on Sunday. Yeah. Oh, Las Vegas. Okay, so it's going to be Las Vegas. All right. Alright, so Okada, okay, so this is it'll be a taping. The Snake Eyes taping. We'll also see Okada in action as he'll team with Motor City Machine Guns take on Moose, Brian Myers, and Eddie Edwards.
Yeah, I've heard he's still friends with him from back in TNA. Apparently from TNA. Them and the Young Bucks were the only ones that were like nice to him while he was there. So that's why he's still friends with him. So
I can't imagine Samoa Joe wouldn't have been nice to him.
Yeah.
Since he was literally working with him all the time.
Yeah.
It's a taping. It's not even an actual. That's weird. I don't
understand.
Has
Samoa Joe been back in Impact since?
What day is January 14th?
I don't know.
Has Samoa Joe been back in Impact? I don't think so. No.
Yeah, he hasn't been back since he got released from WWE.
January 14th is a Sunday.
Because I feel like that would be a big fucking.
That's gonna be live or not, dude? That's weird that they use the terminology taping on it. I don't know anything about that. I'd have to look that.
What the fuck? When are they releasing it for?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's gonna be cool for the people that go though.
It'll be the first fucking VHS that they sell.
But they've got a huge catalog of shit, and they always bring people in for their little specials and stuff that they just have on the TNA.
It could be a way to sell their TNA Plus thing.
Right? Yeah, their TNA Plus thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I think the TNA Plus thing is supposed to drop on the 15th.
Yeah, so then you'd say, well, if you want to watch it, you got to get the subscription, and then you can watch it, and then they'll catch whoever doesn't turn off their monthly renew, I guess.
All right, let's see. This was 2 days ago. TNA Wrestling partners with Endeavor Streaming to distribute its on-demand subscription. Oh, January 5th. So hopefully you can watch Snake Eyes on the app then by them. It'll launch on Friday, January 5th.
Endeavor Streaming. Okay.
Endeavor Streaming. Isn't Endeavor the fucking group that fucking bought?
Well, that's why I was at. I don't know if that's the same group. That'd be kind of weird.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, man. There's a lot of shit happening for TNA right now. I'm hyped for them. Let's move on, though. Let's talk about this Continental Classic. Here are your new updated Gold League standings, and it's awesome because the two people that are in top place with 9 points, Moxley and Strickland, are going head-to-head this Wednesday on Dynamite. It's going to be insane because whoever wins basically is going to win the tournament. So, unless they go to draw, of course. Do you think they'll go to a draw?
Maybe, but can you explain this graph to me? Because I don't get it. Because it's like...
you don't understand the graphic? But you understand Iron Survivor? If someone... I said it on our Twitter. If someone understands Iron Survivor, but not a fucking round robin tournament, it's a block on site.
The amount of moment. People who
I will block you.
So fucking confused by this is like insane to me, man.
Anyway, Moxley and Strickland are both got 9 points, and they'll be facing each other this week on Dynamite. So that's going to be awesome. I don't know the other two matches off my top of my head. I think it's Jay Lethal versus
Briscoe, right?
Briscoe, yeah, I think so. And then Roosh versus
Jay White? No, because they've already wrestled.
No, they already fought. It'll be Roosh versus Mark Briscoe and Jay White versus Lethal.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Correct. And then we only have to see...
Oh, so they're going to make the last match between Briscoe and Lethal is who can at least get some points.
Yeah,
match.
Pretty much. Like we were talking about earlier, but it'd be funny if it's just a draw. It'd be hilarious.
Yeah. Well, hey, being able to say that you were fifth is always going to be better than saying that you were in sixth, even if you tied for fifth.
But it'll be Swerve, and Swerve gets Roosh last, right?
Yeah. I can see them having Roosh win as a spoiler if Moxley loses to Swerve, because then they both end up, because then you have the Moxley Jay White match, which is going to be fucking sick. You could still have them tie.
That's going to be awesome, dude. I think whoever wins between Moxley and Strickland wins the whole fucking thing. It's just the whoever finishes first for both leagues, right? Are going to fight each other at the pay per view.
So that's what I thought, but somebody kept saying that
it's the top two. I thought it was the top two as well.
Yeah,
but that's not how they've been portraying it on commentary, though.
Yeah, I heard somebody say that at some point, and I was like, that doesn't seem right. But no, apparently, okay. So I just looked it up. No, it does actually say B1 versus B2, and then G1 versus G2, so blue and gold. Against each other. And
okay, that's what I thought. So it's the top two. Okay.
Fuck. Interesting.
So we might see Moxley and Strickland twice.
Yeah. Looks like it.
So they're not going to cross it like... They're not going to cross it like New Japan does?
They do after.
New Japan it'll be G1 versus B2 is what it should be.
Well, in you're talking about like when they have four blocks?
Yeah. But I'm saying even with two blocks, you should be able to do that. Why would I fight? Okay, so like, let's say Moxley and Strickland are killing it right now, right? Why in the fuck would I want to be Moxley or Strickland and have another dude that has that many fucking points against me again to go to the championship, but the other group has less points and they get to fight each other again? It's like a lesser type deal. You get what I'm saying? Like, I should be fighting, if I'm number one, I should be fighting whoever that came in second in the other league.
Right.
Is how it should be.
Like your seed for getting highest.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
No, I don't know. I mean, that could change by the time we get to the end of this anyway, because like I said, if Moxley and Strickland both tie, and then the next one, it's going to have to be a winner. There is no more 15-minute time limits when we get to the semifinals. You get what I'm saying? So, like, that could be like a little teaser type deal. We get the draw in the tournament, but then they fight again each other, for the semifinals, and then it's like, okay.
You want my prediction for how that match ends? Whoever wins is going to win it with one of Hangman's moves. Or doing something that Hangman does. Because the whole story that they've been telling with Swerve and Hangman is it like, oh, we're like part of each other now or whatever the fuck. And then Mox and Hangman also had a pretty serious rivalry for a bit too. So I would not be surprised if whoever wins does it by using one of Hangman's finishes or whatever.
All right, so I'm going to say that the person that comes out with this with 0 points is Lethal. I think Mark Briscoe beats him because I think that furthers the storyline of Lethal leaving or getting kicked out of, rather, the Jeff Jarrett stable, which is what they kind of teased for the post promo thing if you watched it on.
I didn't see Lethal's.
Yeah, it wasn't on TV. It was on
social media. I've seen a ton of them online, but I didn't see Lethal's.
Yeah, Lethal was pissed, didn't say anything to the guy that was trying to interview him or whatever, got up against the wall, sat against the wall, put his head in his hands, and then eventually Jeff Jarrett and Sanjay came up to him, told him to get the fuck up, and they were following him and to follow him or whatever, and the way that Jarrett was looking at him, it was kind of like, yeah, Jarrett's gonna fucking turn on this man. He can't win a match.
I like the Garcia one. Because it was a different vibe than the other ones he lost, where he was like, fuck man, like I just keep losing and blah blah. This time it was like, oh, okay. I'm in a chapter of change. And it was like very positive for somebody that just gotten his ass beat. But I thought it was good. The Danielson one was obviously good too.
But it's gonna be interesting to see how this all plays out for the Gold League for sure, but I think it's pretty safe to say that it's gonna be Moxley and Strickland. 1 and 2 for that. Which is why I really like, I want to see how this match goes on Dynamite, because I got a feeling that if they do go one way or the other person's going to win the rematch so that they could have a third match later on down the road. So like if Moxley wins this one, I think Swerve beats him in the semifinals type deal. Are they keeping the same rules for the semifinals that no one can be at ringside? That's a good question too.
I'm sure that's going to be the same. I mean, it's the same tournament still technically. As far as like who's winning out of the Blue League though, that one's a little bit more up.
Let's go to the Blue League. I'm bringing the Blue League. There's the Blue League right there. Okay, so with Andrade's win over Danielson.
It's a fucking crazy match.
Yeah. So now we don't even know what the hell's going on with Danielson, if he was really hurt or if he's gonna be missing some time or
because that match was technically before the Garcia match. They taped that on Tuesday.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
So but still, we still don't know if he's actually hurt or not. Don't matter when the fuck it happened.
Well, he had the whole match with Garcia afterward, so he's fine.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Okay, got you. But he could have just powered through that and been like, okay, I'm done. I've seen football players and hockey players go out there and play the rest of the game, and then, hey, I'm out next week from that same injury that I got the fuck out with. Got taken out with mid-game, so.
He's not quitting. Come on.
But anyway, so Danielson loses to Andrade. Mm-hmm. Garcia lost to...
everybody.
Danielson on Rampage, yeah.
Most recently, yeah.
And then Claudio lost to Eddie Kingston, which was a great match, by the way.
Yeah,
that's probably my favorite match so far of the tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm. Until this, well, Swerve and Jay White was pretty good, but I think Moxley and Swerve is going to be pretty fucking crazy.
I thought Kingston and Danielson was up there.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. I don't think it's better than. I don't think it's better than Claudio and Kingston. To win.
Probably part of it.
Okay, so.
Oh, Rush and Moxley was also very good. I'm excited to see the Moxley Jay White match. I think that'll be good. Especially
who fights each other this week for the Blue League? Do they announce any of those matches yet?
I don't think it's been announced yet. I think just the Gold has.
They'll probably announce them on Dynamite then. But mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm hyped. I think. Even with, I think even with Danielson's loss, I think he's clearly going to go. I think it's going to be Danielson and Kingston again, maybe, is what I think. I don't see how you get Kingston knocked out in the fucking round robin part of the tournament when he's the one that dropped both of his titles to do this.
Well, I could see Kingston going over Garcia, probably, because Garcia just keeps losing anyway. Andrade, he's kind of up in the air.
For many reasons.
Yeah, because I don't know that you wouldn't necessarily want to play him over with his
situation. We don't know where he's going.
Right.
Yeah.
But that being said, like the way that the points are right now, you could have Kingston win two more. He'd be at 9, and then everybody else with 6 can only win one more as well, and then tie out. So.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what. Well, here's my thing is because. Okay, so Kingston has to go against.
Kingston still has to do Andrade and Garcia.
That's yeah, it. So that's okay. So we give him both of those wins so he can get a 9, obviously. Yeah. Then you have King can either draw somebody and beat somebody, and that way he can be like, well, he still actually has 3 matches left, I believe, anyway. But
yeah, he's got Danielson, Andrade, and Garcia.
So he'll lose to Danielson. Mm-hmm. Andrade.
I can see him beating Andrade.
I think he's beating Andrade, and then he draws who's the last person he has?
Garcia, but if he draws that, he ends up with 10.
Oh, I get you. So no, he'd have to lose to Andrade and Danielson and then beat Garcia.
Yeah.
You gotta have Garcia win somewhere, right? You would think,
yeah. But it can't be against Kingston, because that knocks Kingston out. I mean, they might give Garcia a win over Brody King somehow. I think it'd be a good upset. I think it'd be good for him, and I don't think it hurts Brody King to lose.
It'd be an upset right now just because of how King's been producing in the tournament, yes.
That, and
before the tournament, that wouldn't have been an upset, though.
The story they've been telling is essentially he's like sliding back into his like very wrestling-centric Red Death character, right? So you have him go in, don't fucking dance the whole match. Maybe it seems like he's about to start and then immediately fucking snaps out of it and goes for some kind of submission or something or choke or whatever. And you just get King that way and is what it is. It doesn't hurt Brody King at all and tells the same arc of Garcia starting to take shit more seriously. So I think
it's going to end up being Danielson and Eddie in the semifinals. So I think my final four picks right now is Moxley, Swerve, Danielson, and Kingston. I think is how it's going to shake out.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, the Blue League, I feel like the Blue League is more interesting just because you don't have two guys that have 0 fucking points that I knew was going to have 0 points from the jump. So the Blue League, I've always said, is deeper, obviously, from top to bottom, especially when the way that you portrayed Brody King out the gate. So
right. That
one is a lot more interesting to watch stat-wise as far as numbers go. Like, who's going to win here? Who's going to draw? Who's going to fuck this up type deal?
Jay White can still fuck stuff up. That's the thing, too.
Yeah,
Jay
but White's... Claudio can still fuck shit up, too. Claudio's only sitting there with 3 points, and he can still fuck shit up. Yeah, Claudio's not somebody you're just going to go out there and just beat.
I think the Claudio Danielson match will be really interesting.
I'm looking forward to that one, for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll see.
So
this is honestly one of the most interesting things that has happened in AEW for a minute.
I mean, so. I'm intrigued. I mean, like, I'm literally watching it, like, keeping up with it. It's pretty cool. I like it. I just hope next year it's deeper on both sides, honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I think it's a good first outing. Because you had to test the waters and stuff. But I think next year you need to start adding in other shit. I want to see some Lance Archer dudes. I want to see some fucking Dalton Castles. I want to see motherfuckers that are big that can. I want to see Powerhouse Hobbs. I want to see shit like that.
I think if they keep the 2-block structure, they've got to up it to at least like 10. Like, it'll take a while to get through, but honestly, when the G1 comes on in the summer.
Well, like I said, you could do that and have it start earlier, because if you do it for starting WrestleDream or right before WrestleDream and have those first matches at WrestleDream, you could still do 10 people in a block. Would be awesome.
Yeah, and I think that adds in a lot more variety.
And WrestleDream, it makes sense with WrestleDream because it's from Japan that you took this round robin style tournament, and WrestleDream is an ode to Antonio Inoki. So like, why not start it there? Yeah. I think that should be the jumping off point.
Kickoff for the tournament every year. Yeah.
All right. That'd be cool. Let's move on. For our final topic of the day, Serena Deeb has been cleared to return. We've been mentioning her on the show for a while about where the hell she's been and stuff like that, because we think she's really good in the fucking ring and brings a lot of depth to the AEW women's roster. Well, we have an update, so I'm going to mute both of us right now and play you the video, and then we'll react.
Since last October, I've had a series of 3 unprovoked seizures. This has been a really traumatic time period for me. It's affected my career and it's affected my life in a lot of ways. It's been really scary for me. I've seen a lot of different doctors. I've had every test imaginable. And for the longest time, nobody could tell me why this happened. Hopefully the next time you guys see me, I'll be in the ring doing exactly what I do best. And I can't wait to wrestle. I can't wait to show you exactly what the professor, what Serena Deeb is made of. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate and love it.
All right, there we go. So she got choked up there, obviously. She's had a run-in with seizures. I think she said she had three of them. Mm-hmm. Two or three of them that were completely random, had no idea what the hell was causing it. Went to go see a neurologist, multiple updates and stuff, and she's been officially cleared. Obviously, me and Ryan are both excited for her return because we've been missing her to the point where we were, I feel like we were one of the few people that were actually asking where the fuck she's been. There wasn't a lot of Serena Deeb news out there. So I won't ask if we're excited for her return, because clearly we are. It's going to be very hard for me to boo her on her return when she clearly was a heel before she left. So right. If they try to position her as a heel, for me, it's not going to work. So I'm going to be cheering her. I do think it's crazy how close to the vest that fucking AEW keeps certain things. Because like they've got so much shit that comes out about them. Whereas leaked, all this stuff is leaked. Bryan Danielson thrown down, fine. And then, hey, now you're telling me that no one knew about this, no one knew to ask about this. Like, I was shocked that no one even asked this in a scrum in the past four fucking pay-per-view scrums for Tony Khan. Like, I don't understand how this never came up, because she was a huge part of the division and then just magically disappeared. So does it make you wonder why they just don't do this with everything so that stuff doesn't get leaked out? Like, why don't they have everything this close to the fucking vest?
I imagine people are a lot more respectful of people's health than they are of people's drama. So it's a lot easier to get drama leaks than it is to get somebody's health info. That's probably what it is.
Yeah, it's crazy that this was what she was dealing with and nobody knew, though. Like, I'm happy that she's returned. I'm going to be kind of nervous for her at first, for her first four or five matches, because I don't know how those seizures were triggered or anything like that. They clearly weren't triggered in the ring, or everybody would have known about the issues, right? So
I'll be pissed off if they book her to do one of those fucking Danielson spots where she acts like it's a fucking re-aggravation.
I hope they don't do that. I mean, they have to get that cleared backstage first anyway with the new rules that they had or whatever. But, yeah, I hope they don't do that. I really hope they don't do that. At least not anytime soon. Like, if you want to do that, like, a year from now or something, okay. But, like, I don't want to see that shit right out the gate. Because, like, that's the same shit that they had Saraya do with her neck. And I'm like, that's not cool. That's not cool. I don't like that. Edge did it, too. I think Edge did it, too.
He worried the fuck out of everybody.
And not a fan of that kind of stuff, but I am happy that she's cleared. So you just saw the video announcement of her announcing her return is coming soon, imminently. So like, I'm hyped for her. I don't know where she'll be fit in at, because it's been so long. I wouldn't even be opposed to Athena beating Billy Starks at Final Battle, and then Serena coming to the Ring of Honor to challenge Athena as a face. I think that would be cool. I don't really see where else you'd fit her in on the main roster at this moment. Unless you have like a casino battle royale type deal and she was the Joker and then she wins that. Something like that.
Right. Hopefully they don't try to slaughter into any of the Saraya.
No, I doubt they will. I actually enjoy that the way it is right now, because that's going to be Saraya versus Ruby, and then Ruby goes off with Angelo, and then Saraya's by herself or trying to recruit other people or something like that. I wouldn't even be opposed to Saraya talking Tony Khan to bringing in Mandy Rose so she could be back with somebody that she used to be with in WWE type deal and starting a tag team or another stable or something like that.
I'm pretty sure Mandy Rose makes so much fucking money now that she's got no interest.
Yes, but I understand that. But also Tony Khan wouldn't give a fuck about all the extra money she's making and would let her continue to do that. So if she really loves wrestling, she could still do it.
But that's what I'm saying. Does she love wrestling, or does she like? Because
she's talked a lot about
no
it.
No reason at all to do
she's
that. Shit.
I mean, why else would you start a podcast about the whole fucking subject if you didn't love it? A part of her has to like it. But yeah, dude, I'm hyped for her return though. It's just gonna be really hard to see where she's gonna slot in at first. So like,
I always put her in the TBS title picture too.
Yeah, I was about to say TBS title picture would be great if she was the one to take it off Julia. Eventually would be a good spot to have her. But she's always came off as somebody that should have been a world champion already, the main roster, or the main title, I mean, for the AEW Women's World title, too. So, I don't know, but that is so crowded right now, because when Hayter comes back, you're going to have Hayter, you're going to have Sheeta, Riho just came back. You had the fucking current champion, obviously, Toni Storm. Britt Baker eventually is going to have to start wrestling again.
They're doing something with Mariah May, obviously. So
yeah, exactly. Like, it's going to be a clouded thing, or a crowded thing, rather, on the main title. So, yeah, TBS title looks like a good spot for her. But then it kind of doesn't really go with what the TBS title is supposed to represent either.
Right.
Because she's so good and so long tenured as a wrestler.
Yeah. But she could always talk about it as like a way to ease herself back into the competition too. So who knows?
It'd be interesting for sure. I'm hyped for her return though, for sure. Glad she's been cleared. Glad she's healthy or whatever.
Yeah, I hope that means that they figured out what the fuck it was.
Yes. That's what I gathered from the implications of her video, that they actually figured out what it was and they have a way to stop it or whatever.
Yeah.
Could have been something she was doing diet wise. It could have been something that she was eating, drinking that she might not supposed to be doing. Like, seizures can be caused by all kinds of fucking different things. So I'm glad that they were able to find out too. Who knows how much fucking testing she had to go through to figure that shit out. Oh, well, that's going to do it for the show today. I don't have any mark that remarks, even though Dave LaGreca came in with a late one that I was going to use, but it was already too late. I had already started setting up the show. But shout out to Dave LaGreca for a terrible fucking wrestling take, trying to tell me that the CM Punk SmackDown promo was the best promo of the year. Jesus Christ, dude. Like, Ospreay's contract signing promo with Jericho was better than fucking CM Punk's promo on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Well, let's be real here.
More brubs.
It wasn't even the best CM Punk promo of the year.
Yeah. CM Punk's
Collision Return promo was better than the one on SmackDown. I don't want to hear that bullshit.
Fucking delusional.
Like, Dave LaGreca, like, stop drinking the WWE sauce, my man. Hey, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. But hey, that's what we do here. People that don't know anything about wrestling, they have podcasts and video podcasts like us, so.
Well, we know enough to know that wasn't his best fucking promo ever,
definitely,
let alone.
Definitely not. And, ooh, Jesus Christ. That was certainly a take, and I was going to add it, but it was just too late to add it. I will say something positive. I don't have three things, but I want to shout out the Julia Hart Abaddon storyline. No idea where it's going, but it's super interesting and new, so I love it this far with minimal information. It seems like clearly she's pissing her off on purpose because she wants to see what the real Abaddon is type deal. So she's fucking with her mind games while teasing her with the TBS title, because on Collision, you could clearly see that Abaddon wants the TBS title because she was screaming, "Where the fuck did it go?" type deal. At first, I thought it was going to be like Julia was recruiting her, which would have been also cool. I don't know what the hell they're doing with it or what it's going to turn into, because, you know, AEW storylines have a lot of twists and turns, and we don't really know what the end goal is sometimes. But it could still end up being where, hey, she has Abaddon as her fucking heavy to protect her because she's a smaller person and House of Black can't get involved in fucking women's matches. So,
well,
that would be cool.
Brody kind of has, but...
Yeah, not really. Only against Willow.
I mean, he's not
Willow.
Fucking slamming anybody.
Only against Willow!
Like, but he'll, like, stand in front of people and stuff, you know?
Yeah, but he can't be out there all the time either. He's involved in a tournament right now. But, yeah, so it'll be interesting to see which way they go with that, whether they start teaming up together eventually and she's kind of like the bodyguard version, or version like the Sid Diesel version to her Shawn Michaels, or if they're going to just be an in-storyline of, hey, me versus you, and have it be Julia's first, like, legit program with the TBS championship. Either way, I'm cool with it. Like, it's going to be interesting to see what Abaddon picks as her house rules match, though, because, you know, Abaddon's fucking nuts. So hopefully they got a sponsorship going on, pitch black match type
it's
shit.
Black, baby.
So, like, let's get a sponsorship going with Abaddon here so we can get something crazy going. That'd be awesome. But yeah, that's the one thing I had written down for Say Something Positive. I was trying to come up with three. Didn't want the show to be too long, but that is my one positive thing. You got anything positive to say?
The Continental Classic is great. I think we already covered that in depth. Lash Legend showing a lot of improvement. I think that was cool. That's, you know, stuff we already covered, but there's a lot of positive stuff going on. TNA getting a lot of credibility by getting some big names on one of their upcoming pay-per-views.
Credibility, pub, all that. Yes, they just being in the headlines is good for TNA right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool positive things going on right now. So.
Yeah, I'm hyped for it. We'll see you guys next week for sure. Enjoy your week, and hopefully everybody's getting ready and staying safe for the holidays. Deuces.
Later.